are tuned to Maranatha Drive on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Now, as we talk matters of transformation this Wednesday, we want to just catch up basically in our Grace Flow conversation, which we had last week around this time. We talked about fatherhood, and it was clearly a loaded discussion as we were unable to cover all the points that we intended to discuss. And so we want to just maybe touch up that discussion and wrap up some of those loose ends that were left over with our pastor, Mfundisi Mvunelo. And he joins us now on the line. Pastor, good afternoon to you and welcome.
Good afternoon, Derek. I haven't spoken to you for a while.
It's been a while indeed.
Your voice is good to interact with you.
Thank you so much, Mfundisi. Trusting that you've been well.
We're missing Zama today.
Oh, yes. I know he's out of commission. Like they say, he had to attend to some pressing business, but I promise he'll be back next time you're on air.
Yeah, no, that's good. I'm happy to have this conversation with you. Thank you for hosting me.
Thank you so much, Mfundisi. Trusting that you've been well, though.
Yeah, we've been very well, busy, hectic, mm-hmm. but all right. Life is good. The Lord is good. He's carrying us on. We are glad.
Amen to that. Amen. So, Mfundisi, we want to just wrap up our fatherhood conversation that you had started off last week. I remember one of my elders saying that's the issue with things, right? What you do does you. You think you're doing it, Kantiona, it's also doing you. Talk to us a bit about responsible fatherhood and how that actually affects the father himself. And maybe just speak to that about that impact, or maybe the lack thereof if you're not a good father, right, and you're not that responsible, how it actually impacts you as a person and as a father.
Yeah, we spoke about it and we were handling it from a leadership perspective, and we discovered that fatherhood has a greater impact in society, specifically for the children that are in the home, whether it's male or female. So their leadership, their impact is tremendous. In fact, it's I'm not aware of it being studied for motherhood yet, but we do know that fatherhood has, as we said last week, 96% influence towards the spirituality of the children.
Wow.
Compared to the parent, to the mothers, which is about 17%. So you can see that, I mean, these are studies that are coming from psychologists and spiritual professionals and so on. These are not necessarily in support of patriarchy or anything, but they are simply highlighting the importance of fatherhood. In the family. And so fatherlessness also has an adverse effect. So talking about we also spoke about the fact that it has a positive effect on even the fathers themselves. It fulfills the fathers. It makes them feel important or significant in the society.
Yeah.
So it's an important aspect that maybe we need to really keep looking at, because our society is, as we pointed out last week, currently challenged by fatherlessness or absence of fathers in the home. I remember in our discussion last week, we spoke about the fact that if you are absent less than four times at home, you are an absent, father. I mean, more than four times, you are present if you are more available to your family more frequently. So four out of seven is good for a father. Statistic SA said that you are more present.
Is that how it's determined, Mfundisi? Four out of seven, if you're absent, then you're an absent father?
Wow. Yeah, that's what that Statistics SA's research was indicating, that if you are not very much present in your family, say you are only three times, you are really an absent father. You are not. You are not. You are not a responsible father, to use your words.
Yeah.
But much more than anything, really, the attempt is to try and encourage fathers to be more present. And we did indicate that we must not simply make it a ticking of the boxes. I'm present and I'm reading newspapers the whole time.
And there is the
I'm present, I'm engaged, I'm involved with the people, the children's life, and so on.
But that's part of the challenge, is it not, Mfundisi, that as fathers, they use the excuse that I remember seeing a sermon, it was in Shona, that the ba part of the father's name means you must go ba here and ba there. You must be doing things. You can't be found sitting at home all the time. You're not a baba then, if that's the case, you know. That's, sometimes fathers are saying they're out there trying to make a living for the family. And maybe I want you, Mfundisi, maybe to speak to this, to say, can one be a good leader, maybe professionally or something, but yet be a bad father? Because sometimes one would think it translates the one into the other. Maybe chat to us a bit about that.
Well, there are those possibilities are there, and there's evidence that you can be a good leader and a bad father, and you could be a bad father but a good leader. So it depends on, I remember some years ago that somebody had made an analysis, and this borders on the issue of the connection between feminism, or femininity rather, and masculinity.
Okay.
That there are people who noticed that some men were strong and good in leadership, but ineffective at home, because their spouses were stronger personalities and all.
Okay.
So leadership does depend to some degree on the social space you are in, and the kind of social space you are in. If you are in a space where your leadership is suffocated, then chances are you are not going to be successful. And also personality, the person's personality, the ability to relate to others, and so on. So there are a number of variables. There is a connection.
And I like how you then come to that point, Mfundisi, and that's a good place, I think, to segue into the governance conversation, and maybe just start off by introducing it at a definition perspective, to say what is governance and where do you find it being implemented and exercised?
In a couple of years ago now, my short version of it has been rules of engagement. So if you understand the rules of engagement, it's basically policies, procedures, structures that guide and govern and regulate and align everybody in leadership. And in the organization, remember in our definition of leadership, we said that leadership touches from the home to the country and everything in between. So it applies whether in the family. So you would have, for example, in a family, a situation where somebody is a chairman of the board, chairman of the...
The house board.
Of the household.
It's the house board.
Either chairperson or chairman, depending on the gender, by either the natural process or election, or by some other ways, sometimes the strong personality becomes the leader of the family. Not necessarily even by election, just by virtue of their personality. So governance then regulates those relationships, even in the home. Sometimes you have a constitution, it's an instrument of governance. Sometimes you have a policy written out. There's nothing I didn't like in my growing up years, like, it's company policy. I didn't like it. It was like, this company policy is anti joy, plenty of fun. Yeah,
especially if it goes against what you're wanting to.
Exactly. To be. So company policies, family policies. It is our policy in this home to do this thing. It is our practice in this home to celebrate birthdays. It is our policy in this organization to do things this way, like in the context of the church. This is how we do church. This is what, when, this is how we worship, when we worship, who leads the worship, who becomes the leader, when do we choose these leaders? Those are all issues of governance. You are managing, you are making sure that there's governance in the organization or in the setup you are in. Obviously, it doesn't come from us. It originated from heaven itself. That's where you see that the element of governance. And so sometimes you talk of violation of the policy. You talk of rebellion against the system because somebody has gone against what has been agreed on as part of that. And it regulates structures and institutions.
Certainly.
And everything else that happens in that particular organization.
So for governance then to be in effect, Mfundisi, if I'm hearing you well, there needs to be a consensus to begin off with where both parties or all involved parties are coming together and saying, this is how we want things to be done and to be run. And maybe I want to find out if then there is some who are not agreeing with the setup of this policy, as it were, like you were saying, that this company policy, you were not there when it was set up, most likely you just found it in place already. What then happens when in the foundation of certain governance policies, there is disagreement? Is it a majority rule or is it the one in charge sets up the governance policy?
All right. To start with, Derek, what we need to have is an understanding that policies are not necessarily coded, although it is ideal that they are coded and communicated. Sometimes you find, as you say, an existing policy you were not part of, and that is not written anywhere in any organization, but it has become the tradition of this organization. It has been the tradition of this country. It has been the tradition of this family. It has been a tradition of this church or company to do things in this particular way. So you've got to be oriented to the governance system that is there when you arrive. And you've got to find out yourself, what are the rules of engagement here?
Okay.
How do we get this going? How do I get elected if I'm looking for an opportunity to serve? How do I? So those are kind of things you've got to understand. But sometimes you are part of the formulation of the policies. You become a part of the decision making even around the policies. It doesn't happen all the time that you are part of the of them, but when you do, you then influence it. But once the challenge, when you are challenging it, is you are challenging a system that is in place.
Yeah.
It did not come into a vacuum. You may not like the policy, but it is now an entrenched policy, or it is a policy that was communicated to you at the beginning, but you may have not paid attention to it. You may have not agreed with it, but it doesn't make it less important and less effective. And it may, unfortunately, as part of the governance structure or system, have consequences on you. It may say, if you do not do this, this will happen to you. If you do not respect the leadership system that is placed there, you might be disciplined.
True.
You might be moved from the organization, you might be suspended from the organization, or some kind of disciplinary measure could be meted against you because you have not followed or you have not respected what is there. So one, while one may have a case to submit to say, I was not there, I didn't know, I was not aware, there are consequences that one has to unfortunately face in the event that you have not you have not respected the policies.
And maybe just underscore that a bit more, Mfundisi, to say, should you want to challenge the status quo, the present policy, I would take it that obviously in most cases the policy would state that should you have a grievance or a disagreement or whatever, this is how the procedure to go about it. I'm just trying to consider setups that might be law but might be unlawful. I don't know if you hear me. I will look back maybe in our history here in the southern parts of Africa and maybe in other areas where you had systems that were law, such as the apartheid system, which were in law but were maybe not lawful, so to speak, especially looking at it from today's perspective. And we've got systems that might not have a procedure in which to challenge the status quo. I mean, I'm looking at, for example, God's government. You don't have a way to challenge and say, no, but this leader, we're not wanting him. I mean, we have a history of how that was tried, and today we have it as a story of the great controversy that we talk about. But in essence, yeah, it was somebody who was challenging the status quo, but there was no platform for him to come and say, this one is wrong, I want to now vie for his position. What then happens in those cases where the policy in itself has no room to challenge certain items in it?
Yeah, in an ideal situation, you are right. As part of the good governance, there must be either grievance procedures or a procedure for appeal, a procedure for submission even.
Yeah.
But not all the systems or the writers of the system remember that. So you've got to find ways within that system to navigate those areas. I'm not sure what the example you are giving of the great controversy, if there wasn't a way, because if I read it correctly,
okay,
there had been attempts to engage. So that to me seems that it was not a shut case. It was not a case where you say you either obey this and there's no other way, you suffer consequences immediately. But there were attempts to engage. Usually within governance systems, there must be a way of engaging, even with disagreement, even with
to be honest, Mfundisi, and to
with
play
objection
to play. To, yeah, but sorry to cut you there, Pastor, but to play fine. The devil's advocate literally here, when you look at the case, yes, the engagement that was there was so that he can go back to his place. Not that it was saying, what is your case? Can we hear you? And then we find room to engage you on what your case is. It was more to say, hey, Baba, let's engage you. You're out of order. Your spirit that you are is leading you now is the wrong spirit. Go back and serve in your position and be happy where you are. That was the engagement that was coming through. And I'm saying, here you are. You wanted to say, I hear what you're saying, but I don't want the status quo. I want to topple the government. And I'm saying, what platform can I use to say, yes, Nkulunkulu, you have a position, but can your position be up for election?
Yeah, no, definitely in his case, there were different intents. It was toppling, as you correctly say. It was the overthrow of the government of God.
Yeah.
And so the consequences had to be suffered and had to be endured. But the element of grace was still there to say, listen, this is not the way, this is not how it works. You are a created angel, you are a creature, you are not supposed to behave this way. You are an incomer, if I may use it that way.
But Mfundisi, I don't want us to be caught in the theology of the conversation. I'm still wanting us to be discussing governance. And what I was just looking at was...
Yeah, I wanted us to focus
because
on
I want us
to say,
yes.
If you are wanting to contravene intentionally and topple the system,
which is why I gave the apartheid example, to say there was a system without a space for this new contravention that's coming through. What then happens?
Yeah. So many people suffered because of that.
Exactly.
But eventually, the system was toppled and overhauled and rebuilt from scratch, if you please. But it unfortunately, in a system such as you are pointing out, where there is no alternative ways of engaging with the policy, and you are seen as a rebel, it unfortunately has casualties. And it's not necessarily, I mean, it's not the ideal situation. There must be a way where you can voice your dissent. There must be a way you can submit your wishes in any governance system. And if it is not open for that, then you have casualties of war, because it becomes war between those that have power, those that are in authority, and those that are seeing themselves in the fringes of authority.
Yeah, Mfundisi, it's quite an interesting one. And sadly, we'll have to then leave it here, and we'll maybe pick it up in the next week. But thank you so much for your time. And yeah, what an interesting conversation. Governance, right? And how things are run. The thing is, sometimes we think this is for governments and for companies and for what. But like you said right in the beginning, every institution, the moment you're going to be engaging with others, you need to be involved in governance and how to implement it. Thank you so much for your time once again. We truly appreciate it.
Thank you, Derek, for the time. Blessings to you and your listeners.
Amen and amen. Mfundisi Mvunele there joining us, talking governance.
You are tuned to Maranatha Drive on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.